Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Osa Okamina, CEO of ADM Energy. Welcome, Osa.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
So you purport to be an oil and gas investing company with an aggressive growth strategy. Do you want to tell the listeners a bit more about yourself and what ADM Energy does?
Yeah, okay, thank you very much. So I'm Osa Okamina. I studied philosophy at Cambridge. I started off my career in the telecom sector. But for the last 20 years or so, I've been primarily in the oil and gas sector. I've been involved primarily in originating transactions and mostly across Africa, in Equatorial Guinea, Libya, Nigeria, Gabon. And that's my specialty, looking for new transactions, creating joint venture partnerships, and putting together financing for transactions. I've done this rather successfully over the last decade or so. And I built, you know, in the process, a network of oil company partners, oil service company partners, trading partners, as for example, with Trafigura, Shell Trading, and indeed even with Aramco Trading. So that's a bit of my background, which I was invited to take over the management of ADM Energy about 3 years ago. My first experience of running a public company, I must say so, it's been a very brutal experience, you know, learning to how to restrain the expression of your enthusiasm, how to manage the expectations of the market, how to avoid being pushed by your investors to make hasty announcements and investment decisions. So I should say that it's been a very good learning experience for me. And I think that as a corporate CEO, I've learned a bit more about how to delicately maneuver our way to the public markets. So that's where we are today.
I think you're being very polite about the storm that you've traveled through. you've had COVID, obviously causing problems, and then scenario. You've then had investors who've been trying to get the situation that favors themselves, and now how do you feel? Are you through these situations? And you've had the Barracuda situation as well, in terms of legal action, in terms of that. Where are we at with all of those things? Have we passed through this storm?
Oh, of course, thank you. The COVID was a good experience for all of us. You know, it taught us how to, you know, manage our affairs remotely. We managed to survive the worst part, which I'll leave COVID for now, because myself and all similar companies had the same experiences. And Barracuda is a typical, classical, oil and gas play. You spend a lot of time originating a transaction. Some other company comes in and thinks they can gazump you. It's not unusual. The fact that we're a public company and this little corporate drama to be played out in the public sphere made it more damaging for us. But I've come across many such transactions with problems before. Now, we were able to go to court, put an injunction pretty quickly, and I've managed to stabilize the issue. I think in the fullness of time, sooner than you imagine, the issues will be resolved in our favor. That's with Barracuda. The shareholder activity was, not uncommon as well. And a minority shareholder trying to exercise an enormous amount of influence over the company's direction and strategy. And, you know, we spent a lot of time trying to pacify the shareholder in question. Then we decided it was best for us to take it to an AGM and take it to the vote. And going through that process in a requisition, trying to restrain ourselves from, you know, the banter that was played on the public market, was also a learning experience for us as well. And we won the vote in Saturday, 2% or so of the shareholders were firmly in our camp. So all those things, as you said, are firmly behind us. But we've learned a lot from the experience, and we're not complaining. It's been a good opportunity to understand how to deal with such calamities. Yeah.
So tell me about the Barracuda asset and how that's going to impact the business.
we've looked at, to put it in perspective, myself and my technical team, we've looked at something like 20 different fields in Nigeria. Okay? And of all these 20 fields, we decided that Barracuda was the best we had seen. Now, why was it the best? It was the best because there was no material signature bonus. In many of these so-called marginal assets or fields, you have to pay a fat premium ranging from 3 million to 10 million just to even get into the assets. With the Barracuda deal, there was no such material payment. We paid $250,000 or so. So on that, from that score, it was a very good entry in terms of pricing. We also, it's also an asset that has been well explored. You know, it has four wells on. So from the point from, as an oil mine, it has a lot of data, which means that we were able to adequately dimension the risk, you know, and the risk reward. So we were able to determine that it was a punt worth taking. So that was one of the reasons why we found Barracuda very exciting. And also the commercial terms were good. It's a typical risk service contract. So you make 2.3 times back for every buck you pay. By paying a dollar, I get out $2.3 plus a residual interest. So from a commercial point of view, it was very good in terms of entry fee and the netbacks. From an exploration appraisal point of view, it was very good because it's been well explored. And it was situated in an area called the Golden Triangle, where there's a lot of mass prolific producing fields around it. So we found that's why we took the trouble to fight for it. So we know we've gotten a pretty good deal. And if it comes true, it will come true with a resounding bang. So we like the asset.
And what percentage or proportion do ADM Energy own of this asset?
Yeah, we own something like 51% of the economics. So we roughly 51% of 70%. So it amounts to about 30-35%. But because we have a capital uplift, you know, so there's a certain amount of returns we make even for financing it, you know, it's a bit higher than that. So I think in see-through terms, we probably own up to 50% of the economics. It's very good.
And what sort of resource is in place in this? There are 2P resource in this Barracuda?
There's a big debate. There are four wells. You know, 2P is typically given to you when you have an approved development plan. You know, so we're still considering it contingent stroke prospective, you know. But once we agree with the competent person our development plan, we should be able to get better resources, yeah, 2C. But we wouldn't get 2P until we drill and test the well, which we intend to do in the foreseeable future.
Okay, so what other assets do ADM Energy hold that has other resources?
Our main asset is the Aje field. The Aje field is fully explored, produced, it has a lot of gas. I think about 65% of the resources are gas. Our net 2P reserves from a BOE basis is 16 million barrels. So it's quite significant. You know, the Aje field, we are now planning to go into the gas development. Our preferred monetization route is LNG. And fortunately for us, I mean, unfortunately for, you know, some of our friends in the Ukraine, the old energy mix and strategy for gas has changed. There's far more demand. Gas prices are up, you know, humongously. So we've been seeing a lot of interest from buyers and the financiers to develop Aje's gas. You know, and Aje has over 1 TCF of gas. So that's our next wave of development. Now that would take time and to happen in stages and phases, but the activity stream between where we are today and the first sale of an LNG cargo will result in several material announcements over the coming years. So it's a major asset for us.
Okay, so this first ship sailing out with the gas is going to happen in what time scale? Give us your best and worst.
The best is 3 years, the worst is 3.5 years. We're already moving towards FID. So what does that mean? We've already done the entire appraisal of the subsurface. We've developed an information memorandum about the project. We've identified the shipbuilder yard in China. We've done all the economic modeling. We've identified strategic investors who will come into the company and the project company. So it's all being planned thoroughly. And in about 6 to 9 months, we'll FID. Now, to put in the perspective, projects like this, you know, the company gets value at FID. Even if I tell you the first cargo of LNG will be shipped in 2 years' time, from the moment we FID the project, you know, our interest in the project is bankable. So, and that would happen within 12 months.
So for the retail investors, explain to me what FID is and what it's about.
It's your final investment decision. So essentially, you plan the project, you cost the project, you present it to investors and financiers, and once they say yes, we're in, you know, everybody signs contract, and that's your final investment decision. So effectively, at FID, at final investment decision, the project is bankable, and it's banked. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's all about.
And at what stage do you expect that FID to happen, and what time scale?
12 months from now, 9 to 12 okay. months from now.
So over the next 12 months, what news can we expect in ADM?
Okay, in an ideal world, it will start with our decision. We're going to have an FID on the back with a project in a couple of months. Okay. Once we agree that, we'll start sourcing out all the drilling rig. We'll sign a drilling contract. That's another newsworthy announcement. You know, we'll move the rig to site, we'll drill. So on the Barracuda, we should see a chain of announcements, 4 or 5 announcements over a 6 month period. Okay?
Okay, very good.
On RJ, the same thing, we would announce, you know, the formation of the joint venture for the FLNG, the partners involved. We would appoint bankers to fund to raise the project's financing. That's announceable as well. We announce all the engineering and design contractors, you know. So over a 12-month period, there will be something like 6 or 7 material announcements that will lead up to FID. Now, this is just speaking about our current portfolio. As you can imagine, we're very busy on many other fronts, you know. We have transactions that we're reviewing, and some of them we are exclusive on. You know, we're working within the documentation stages. So in between pushing Barracuda and the IG project forward, we are busy with other transactions. When you asked me, you know, in the preamble conversation, you asked about profitability. We're trying to acquire assets that are producing, you know, so we can leverage that, you know. And, you know, if one of these comes true, we should be generating EBITDA, you know, pretty soon. You know, so we're mindful of, you know, pushing our current portfolio forward. We're also trying to acquire producing assets. Okay. And then if I may make another breaking news to you, we're also looking very heavily into the renewable space. You know, we've seen a lot of capital available for that, you know, also from institutional investors in Africa and in the UK. And we were thinking very strongly of setting up a renewable subsidiary.
Okay, interesting. So there's lots going on. Tell me this, what sort of shareholding do you have yourself in ADM?
I think just under 3%. Yeah.
Have you any intentions at this paltry value then to make yourself a 3% shareholder with what's ahead of us?
Yes, of course. I mean, don't forget that most of the private investors in the company were introduced by me as well. So I have a lot of family and friends invest in the business as well, you know. I intend to invest more. And to put it in perspective, I've invested at every single opportunity. So every time we've raised capital, I've invested alongside new investors.
Just giving us a perspective here, I mean, we've other oil companies that we're following. One of them is Orca, which is a North Sea, and they have 69 million barrels of 2P reserve in the ground, and they're currently, you know, undervalued as well, but maybe talking about somewhere in the region of 50 cents to $1 per 2P resource.
Yes.
And this resource is also gas, so actually that's probably very conservative, but this would put a valuation on on ADM of between $8 million and $16 million. So let's say 6 to 12 million pounds is fair enough for just one of your assets without the Barracuda asset and the other assets. So why do you think that the stock is so oversold and is only worth 1.4 million pounds as we speak?
Yeah, and fair enough. And I said to you before earlier on, it's because of the catalogue of activities that we didn't plan for, like the Barracuda saga, the Genesis acquisition. So that created a bit of a fight among the retail investors. But I think it will correct itself pretty quickly. You know, the stock is more or less flat and stable. And as soon as we put out some news items, we'll quickly regain our what we consider our true value. So we're a bit relaxed about that. So we have a first-class management team. And I think that with the quality of people we have around us, we have a long-term vision of creating a pretty material business. We're not here to be a penny stock for much longer.
So just while we're on the subject of Ajay, there was obviously a recent announcement, the OML 113 update with Petronor completing the purchase of, I think it's about 9.2% interest of the Ajay interest from Panora Energy. Do you want to just give us a bit more background on how significant that news is for the company?
Yeah, it's quite significant. I mean, Petronor started this transaction a couple of years ago and they went through hoops and they finally got the government approval, yesterday. So that's significant. The market received that very well. At one point, our shares were up over 100% and came down to 40% up. Now, from the point of view of our company, it's an important to look at the see-through matrix. A good example is that based on the purchase consideration of $10 million and $15 million contingent, which Petronor paid for Panoro, the equivalent value of ADM stock is 2.6p on the surface of it. And if you add the contingent, 6.3p. So that's an objective basis to see our valuation. And here we're trading at just sub 1p. So there's a 2.5x just on the forward consideration and 6x on the contingent based on gas production. And that's a real life objective transaction that completed just now. So that shows, the pent-up value in ADM stock.
Sure, and there was obviously also the news that came out regarding the Barracuda oil field and the interim injunction. Do you want to give us a bit more background on what that means as well?
Yeah, I mean, we've always maintained that, the law is in our favour on this matter, And what happened in court last week was that we both said to the judge that a settlement was being discussed, and that's why the judge gave a further injunction. I mean, we were confident if we had to go to trial on this, we'll win the case. So it's good that our counterparties have found it in their wisdom to have a settlement discussion. So basically,
it's been adjourned, I think, until like in the middle of November, hasn't it?
Exactly. But we think that with a fair wind, we should achieve a settlement before that.
Okay, so, I mean, the present company is obviously looking a lot brighter than it was a few even weeks ago, but months ago in terms of what's available. Just explain, so everybody really gets it. This, I'm rubbish at pronouncing names, by the way, but Ajay,
yes.
The announcement, what has actually physically happened? So the company that you own has sold the part?
Not the one that we own. No, one of our partners, a Norwegian company called Panoro, sold its interest to another Norwegian company called Petronor. Okay? That transaction was papered long ago, but it was formally completed now. And the completion means they paid them a consideration of $10 million and they paid them a deferred consideration contingent on gas production of another $15 million. So a $25 million deal.
So if you were to sell your part, how much, based on the same terms, how much would you get?
$20 million, roughly. We'll get roughly $8 million plus $12 million consideration or contingent payment. So now
you have no intention of selling it, obviously, but it gives us a valuation.
Yeah, exactly. Of course not. Yeah.
Okay, so based on that, even if we use the $8 million as the upfront payment, if you like,
yes,
this is £6 million. So
exactly.
this is a market cap of about, what, 2.5p, 3p?
Yeah, I mean, 2.6p to be exact.
Okay, 2.6p. Yeah. And then the potential for the contingency of the fact that the gas is there. Which we know it's there, obviously, but it's
exactly.
how much comes out and how quickly. So, I mean, now, this really is a bit of a no-brainer then, really, in terms of that, surely.
Of course.
Tell us more then about the other project and its potential that is currently in the courts.
And based on the CPR that was published by our competent person, Exodus, you know, the net present value, assuming a success case, assuming we drill and produce, the net present value of our interest in that project is almost $100 million. And that's a matter of public record as published in the CPR we produced a few months ago. You know? So subject to us having a successful well, which we are relatively bullish about, that could have another significant impact on our value. That asset will produce at peak time 20,000 barrels a day.
Yeah. Wow, 20,000 barrels a day, that's significant. Yeah. But I mean, even if you take the net present value and take 1% of that net present value, that's $2 million. On a chance. So $2 million is your market cap today. So again,
exactly.
It's like, what's that all about? And that's without the other project. Okay, so
exactly.
I think have you anything else just to round up why people should invest into your company over the next 12 to 24 months?
Yeah, I mean, we are a well-organized group. We have an excellent management team and board. We are well, known for originating transactions. And we think that now that we've gotten ourselves, comfortable with the machinations and the mechanics of the capital markets, we can only grow stronger and stronger. We now know what we need to do. We know how to manage expectations. We know how to better interface with the market. I think that over time, our abilities will be more clearly demonstrated.
Okay, good. Now, you're on the midweek takeaway, so we have to ask the question. I don't know, where actually are you based? Where's your home?
I live in North London.
Okay, so if you had to have a food takeaway in the middle of the week, what would it be? What would be your favorite takeaway?
I always buy the same thing. I buy Eat Tokyo. It's a small Japanese chain. It's quite very good quality food and it's very inexpensive. I buy Eat Tokyo almost every lunchtime.
Do you have noodles or do you have tempura or do you have sushi?
No, I have a bento. I have a chicken.
Oh, bento box.
Tarikara bento box, yes.
Nice.
Soup. I love it.
Chicken katsu and things like that.
Yes, chicken tarikara bento. It's my favorite.
I used to live in Tokyo, so I know the food very well.
Oh, it's very good. I mean, Tokyo is, they've done a good job of making high quality Japanese food and very affordable. Very affordable.
Brilliant.
Very good. We will publicize this chain now.
Yes, Eat Tokyo.
Very good. Demand coming to
other Japanese fast food takeaway brands are available.
I don't know them.
Good. Well, Osa Okamina, CEO of ADM Energy, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a lovely weekend.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.